Good morning. It is so great to be with you this morning to continue our series called Be Still, My Anxious Heart. I particularly enjoy this series because I'm someone who deals with a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. So over the weeks, as we've been going through this series, I've really been gleaning quite a bit. And it struck me this morning that we've actually been doing this series for quite a few weeks. So I think the message is we probably have a lot of anxieties to deal with if we have to take so many weeks to cover it. I know that there are these very large anxieties that we deal with, these fears that we deal with, like death and bankruptcy and divorce and health issues and, you know, the security of our finances and the world that we're in. But I would also suggest that we can bring even maybe what we consider these smaller anxieties to the Lord. For instance, one of the things that I deal with on a daily basis is commuting to Penn Station. Now, things have changed drastically after 9/11 if you're a commuter on a railroad such as the Long Island Railroad. If someone's watch starts to beep too many times, we're all getting nervous on the train. I mean, it's just a different environment. When you get into Penn Station now, there's the state police, there's the MTA police, there's the National Guard. I mean, it definitely can give you some anxiety. For instance, several years ago, I was coming home from work. I work in a law firm in Midtown, and I was coming home and I was trying to make the 908 train. That's PM. I was trying to make the 908 train, and as I got to Penn Station, I usually cut it pretty close. I had just missed the train. And I'm not one to go into the area where you can wait, but I was so tired and the next train wasn't for a half an hour and I was in my suit and my heels and I just thought, I need to go sit down and relax. As I came into the waiting area, I saw somebody sitting there, it didn't look too crazy, so I thought I would sit down and just relax for a little bit. With that, I opened my flip phone, so you can imagine how old this story is, and I started chatting with my mom. And as I was chatting with my mom, the person that was a few seats over from me started screaming and cursing, like vocabulary you can't even imagine. And he was so loud that my mom on the phone actually said, "What is going on?" I'm like, I just ignore it. And I kept, you know, talking to my mom. And then the person started saying how they were going to kill somebody. And they were really, you know, speaking violently. So, of course, with this, I had to look over and see what was going on, and the guy was staring directly at me and saying all these things that he was going to do. So, like a typical New Yorker, I take it in stride, I pick up my bags, you know, and I continue to talk to my mom. And I go over now to the larger area. You may have been there where it's the big posting, and it shows, like, all the trains are coming in, the main section. And as I'm standing there talking to my mom, I see the crowd starting to split. And this guy is making a beeline directly for me, screaming at the top of his lungs. So now I'm standing there, and there's now a big circle around me, no one helping me, just watching. And the guy comes directly in front of me. And fortunately, I had taken karate for like a day or two, right? So I thought I am, and I actually wore my jacket I bought in Japan to illustrate. But I thought, okay, so this guy came over and I said to my mother's like, "What is going on?" I'm like, "I gotta go, Ma," you know. I clip the phone, I put it in. As he comes in front of me, I drop my bags and I go in the best fighting stance that I can make. Now, of course, I'm in a skirt, right? But I thought, you know what? I'm not going to win, but I'm going to go down swinging, right? So I'm standing like this and he just stopped. You know, maybe he thought I was crazier than he was, but he just stopped. And I was like, "Who are you? Like, what do you?" And that's another thing they teach you in karate, like your loud voice, stop whatever's happening. And he said, "Aren't you the DA from Queens Family Court?" And I was like, no, you know, I guess because I had a lawyerly like suit on, you know, he thought I was. And with that, me and my, you know, fighting stance, he said, "Mistaken identity." And he just walked away. So I get home and I tell my husband the story, and we were laughing because I don't know about you, but it reminded me of my favorite 80s movie, The Karate Kid, right? I thought, I've got my wax on, I got my wax off, I'm ready to go, right? All those hours in karate doing the same old thing. I don't know if there are any black belts in here, but as a black belt, you're doing kata one that you learned at 7, and here you are as a black belt 20 years later. It's the just keep doing it and doing it until you perfect it. And that's really what it was like that day. I really was able just to call up the stuff that I had done over and over again. And that the sensei said, just keep doing it, Carol. And that's exactly what happened. I didn't even think about it. I don't know if I would have gotten a good elbow strike in there. I don't know what I would have done. But it was automatically in my mind. And that's really what the Word of God is like for us. Joshua 1:8 is very clear. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. That's what the Word of God is for us. We need to meditate on it and memorize it. We need to look at 2 Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is clear about this, guys. We need to open that book. You know, we have these cards that we're giving out today. You know, maybe you're unfamiliar with the Bible. It's a little daunting to you. You know, you can start like with these cards that are in the back, put them in your pocket. You're on the train or you're at an appointment, you can take them out and read them. And as you become more familiar with the language and the wording, get in the Word of God. I'm on my 4th year reading through the Bible in a year. And I'm not saying that because good for me. I'm just saying that by now, when I read the stories in the Bible, I know these people like I know my family. I know the history. I know their situations. It's profound. So when you are facing something and you think about 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I got to tell you, that's like a wax-on move, right? Because you're thinking, you know what? I'm not going to hold on to that anxiety. I'm casting it on him because he cares for me. Or if you look at Philippians 4:6, and I apologize, this looked great on my computer, but it's hard to see up there. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication. If I can read it from here. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. That's like with prayers, with thanksgiving. I mean, could you see it as you battle those anxieties and you have this on your heart? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So if you're facing something like a job situation and you're anxious, am I going to lose my job? Am I going to lose my house? Am I going to lose, you know, the security that you feel you have? You open up the Word of God and it is your arsenal, man, that you have it seared into your heart and meditate on it, that you know it. But my question for you today, is that it? Is that all you need to do? Memorize the Word, apply it. Be obedient to it. Meditate on it. Let's take a look at Joshua 1, chapter 1, and see what it has to say. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. Now, just to talk about this a little bit, this is basically Joshua stepping into the enormous shoes of Moses. I don't know about you, but I get anxious just thinking about poor Joshua and how he is going to take on this responsibility for these people. But listen to what God says to Joshua. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you hear what God is saying to Joshua? Yes, you need to know the word. Yes, you need to meditate on it. Yes, you need to memorize it. But don't forget, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And God goes on to tell Joshua. Next one. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, that you will be prosperous and successful. And God says it again. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That is what I would like to focus on today. The fact that God is with you, he will not forsake you, and he goes with you wherever you go. Now, I would like to think that this makes a very large difference. So I pose the question to you, do you think knowing that God is with you, no matter where you go and what you do, makes a difference in your life? I would like to suggest that it absolutely does. Now, truth be told, I want no phone calls from Steve Tomlinson, our senior pastor, tomorrow, telling me that someone here called him and said, you know, Carol Duty was talking in Syosset and said, we don't need to worry about the word. We're just going to focus on God with us. That is absolutely, positively not what I'm saying, so I just want to clear that up right now. The word absolutely, positively has to be part of your life. You have to sear it on your heart, in your mind, memorize it, meditate on it. There's nothing that will bring you closer to God than knowing who God is. In order to understand who he is in you, you have to pick up the word and read it and find out who he is. It's so critically important. But I don't want you to miss the kicker, if you will. I went back to our sensei, haven't been in karate in a while, but I went back to my sensei and actually put on the suit that I wore 10 years ago that day in Penn Station. I was very excited because I actually still fit in it. And I went to the sensei and I said, sensei, I like for people to feel the difference of when I was out there alone in Penn Station or if you were standing with me. Can you just feel this picture? Can you just feel how much braver I know I would have been standing there in Penn Station facing that guy if my sensei, who's been a world-class champion for the last 30 years, was at my shoulder? I'll be honest with you, he put his hand, we just said to stand there behind me. When he put his hand on my shoulder, oh my goodness, can you just feel that? Feel the power of that? That's who God is with you. That's who Jesus Christ is with you. And I hope today you don't leave this building not knowing that in the very depths of your soul, that God with you makes all the difference in the world. And it made a difference to Joshua. Let's look at Numbers 13. And just to set it up a little bit, so now they're getting ready to go into the promised land and they send out spies into Canaan to see what's going on. And 12 go out and 12 come back. And the 12 saw the same thing. You'll see as we go through the report, the 10 and the 2, different reports, but they saw the exact same thing. And the difference between those two reports is the perspective of knowing that God is with us. They came back to Moses, this is all 12, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are great in size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." So if you ended the story here, you would see how anxiety-filled these people were, right? The Lord has directed them to go into this land, and they're all shaken in their boots. They came back and said, "We're mere grasshoppers. We can't do this." Can you think of a situation in your life that you're facing today where you feel like a grasshopper? You feel like the bills are just too big, Carol. I feel so small. The stuff that's going on in my marriage is 20, 30 years old, Carol. It's too big. I'm a grasshopper. My child has been wayward for years, maybe on drugs, maybe living in the streets. It's just too big, Carol. I've gone into the land and I see the giants are too big. Fortunately, we don't end the story in Numbers 13. We go on to Numbers 14 because Joshua has a different perspective of the situation. Joshua said to all the people of Israel, "The land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection. But the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them." So this morning, when you're looking at the situation in your lives, you are not the grasshopper. You have the almighty, powerful God with you. You are not facing anything today alone. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is with you. In Matthew 1, it tells us when Jesus was born, his name would be Emmanuel, and that is translated God with us. So today, do you know this God? Do you know intimately the God that I speak of? Have you searched his word for him? That's my challenge for you today. No longer stay ignorant of who God really is, but search him out. Get in a prayer group, get in a Bible study, get to know this God that I speak of. I'd like to read to you Exodus 15. This is after the parting of the Red Sea. You may know the story. Moses has led the Israelites through the Red Sea. The Lord parted the Red Sea so the Israelites could flee, escape the incoming Egyptians. Once they're on the other side to safety, the sea closes and the Egyptians are drowned. And Moses and Miriam are on the other side watching this. And they decide to sing to our God. They sing a song that's written in Exodus 15. They take account of who God is. And as you listen to these words, I can only imagine Moses and Miriam speaking these words because they have literally seen the evidence of what God can do. I pray for you as you listen to these words at some time in your life, if not in the past, certainly in the future, You will read these words and feel the passion of a God that loves you, a passion of a God that will fight with you and for you, a passion of a God that will comfort you. I remember someone once telling me at the loss of their son that they could barely breathe. I'll never forget that. They couldn't even think about breathing. The loss was so devastating. But they said, I know God is with me. My heart breaks for people today that do not have Jesus Christ, because they do not have the ultimate comforter. They do not have the ultimate warrior. They do not have this passionate God that is with them. God said it twice in Joshua, from 1 to 9, I am with you. He said it twice because he wanted Joshua to hear it. He said it twice because he knew his word would be in your hands or on your computer or on your phone today, and he wants you to hear it. No matter what you're facing, God is with you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. So we turn to Exodus 15. I will sing to the Lord, for he is exalted, highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like a stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy, they boasted, I will pursue them. I will overtake them. I will divide their spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them. But God blew his breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness and awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone. Until your people pass by, O Lord, until the people you brought pass by, you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. The place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Amen. Amen? That is the God that is with you. Yes, amen. That is the God that's with you, for you, comforting you, loving you. Jesus died for you. That is the God. And you may be on extreme ends of the spectrum today. You may be somebody who has no clue what I'm talking about. You're new. You've never been here before. Today's your first day. And you're thinking, who is this God she speaks of? Who is this Jesus that died for me? I would petition you to stay for those few minutes after service today and allow our prayer team to pray with you and speak truth over you, that you may come to know this Lord. I'll be honest with you. I often say to myself, I don't know how people face this world without Jesus. Do you ever say that? I hear what people are going through, and I'm thinking, huh, if I was going through that, I'd be on my knees in the Word with my girls, praying, going to the pastor, seeking counsel. People without Jesus, oh my goodness, how do you get up every morning? Because with God, It doesn't change the outside. The stress and the anxieties are still there. What it changes in here, that you can actually have joy in the midst of sorrow. You can actually have peace in the midst of chaos because Jesus is with you. And you can be on this end of the spectrum. You've been in church your whole life. You can memorize chapter and verse. You can correct me on everything I said according to the Bible. But you don't really feel that God is in you. You think, all right, Joshua needed that. He needed to hear that affirmation. I got it. No, you don't. You need God. And God has given his life, Jesus, to be with you so you never, ever have to be alone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much that we can bring every anxiety to the cross. I thank you, O Father God, that you have commanded us to be brave and strong and courageous, but you don't leave it there. It's not a hollow command. It's a command based on the knowledge that you are always with us and we face nothing alone. No matter how deep, no matter how wide, no matter how significant the giants look, we are not grasshoppers in the kingdom of God. We are children of God, and we thank you today for the word and the power that you give us in your precious and holy name. Amen.